Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome into That Is Your Opinion, or That's Your Opinion. What's the title of the show again? That's Your Opinion, right?
That's Your Opinion. My opinion is always right. Yours is always wrong. So really, that's it's your my opinion. Opinion.
That's your opinion. Fred Smoot, Smoot's the Dramas. He's got many different names. Mm-hmm. I've got a few names for him after last week. Well, I can't say them on the air.
Hey, please say it. You can call me by my new alias, and that's El Camino Jones.
El Camino Jones.
Yes. Half car, half truck.
I don't know what the hell that means, but I might call you Dirty Sanchez by the end of this.
please, I administer.
And the producer of said show, Cy, the Amish man, Fembeck. How are you guys holding up here? I mean, we got no football. We got free agency, which we do have. That is interesting.
I would say free agency feels like the NBA right now. Like it's moving along quick. And by the way, fellas, since we in the middle of a chicken sandwich war, did y'all get a chance to try KFC's chicken sandwich that they use in the fight against Popeye?
No, please tell me, because I'm actually very interested in the sandwich wars here, and I've not tried that one yet.
I tried it today, and just like Popeye's, it was a long line, and I give it a B plus. Hey, it's a pretty good chicken sandwich.
All right, but where does it rank with Popeyes and Chick-fil-A? Because I feel like Chick-fil-A, I like the breading better, but Popeyes has that spicy mayonnaise that's so good.
Yeah, and Popeyes has like the biggest pickles in the world too. Also.
Yep. Wow. So where would it rank between? Sorry, Chick, to derail you here, but I need to know right off the bat. Where does this KFC sandwich rank among? Chick-fil-A and Popeyes.
Popeyes, because you know Popeyes jumped on the scene and hurt him. All right, Popeyes was serious. All right, I'm gonna go Popeyes first, Chick-fil-A second, Kentucky KFC third.
All right, cool. Good to have that established.
I don't do any of those too much, to be quite honest with you. I mean,
why not? It's just chicken. Chicken not bad.
I know. I mean, so if you're standing in line, so basically you're getting a COVID sandwich is what you're doing. If you're standing in a long line
of folks.
First
of all, it's a drive-through. All right, they're not open.
Oh, it's a drive-through.
Yeah.
I don't drive. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've done enough drive through, but that's a long line for that. So what are you doing in the car? Just sit on your phone?
Me, myself, I watch YouTube a lot while I'm in my car. I actually listen to YouTube a lot while I'm in my car. So I'm getting educated while I chill.
You don't listen to your own podcast at all?
Not really, because once we film it, I know what I just said. You know, I'm never one of them people that I do a TV show, then go back and watch it. Watch myself doing a TV show. No, I know what happened during that TV show. I'm waiting for the next one.
Okay. Well, for those who don't know, so last week we had Drew Pearson in the Hall of Famer. Apparently, Fred was searching for his own Hall of Fame bust in Canton and couldn't make the show.
Because I couldn't find it because he's not there.
he had a long drive to Canton. Drew was great. Loved Drew. And as folks know, he was my childhood idol. Very giving with his time. So this week, and he played in an era, and he laughs about the contracts now. So our boy Trent Williams just re-upped with the San Francisco 49ers.
32 years old, and he signed for $100 million.
Got 138 coming. And he's got 55 total guaranteed mil is what he's got. What do you think of that at 32? I know a lot of guys, especially linemen, if they're really good, and he's been banged up a little bit, but still, when he's on the field, when the defensive lineman comes out in the field and they see Trent Williams, they're like,
unless his name Chase Young, because Chase Young beat him like a senior citizen last time I seen him. Like, listen, at the end of the day, Trent is not, if not the best tackle in the league, he's one of the best tackles in the league. And you remember I made a proposal that I said NFL should incorporate a rule every 6 years a veteran is required to take a year off. That year that Trent took off extended his career 3 years. And if you do this, you can watch your great players play for at least 2 to 3 more years by doing that type of stuff. So Trent benefited from that.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
It's so hard to say with linemen, because usually linemen don't really get their Hall of Fame treatment unless they are part of a Super Bowl team.
Right.
Right. So it's hard to say with linemen. And it just is, and sometimes as a lineman, you're at the mercy of skill positions. Because if a guy like Antonio Brown is going in the same year as you, of course they're gonna take the guy that had the most headlines in our offensive line.
So Trent is there for the duration of his career. As far as the Washington football team goes.
Oh yeah.
How about Fitzmagic? Ryan Fitzpatrick is now the let me tell you something. Here's what I like about the signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick, because there are question marks after the name Kyle Allen. There is a question mark after the name Taylor Heinicke. There's no question mark behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. He probably should have started more games in Miami last year. You have a bona fide quarterback who has a brain that works well in an offense. I love this signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I know it is not a long-term thing. It is a stopgap measure, in my estimation, while they go and try to find a franchise quarterback. But that's a pretty cool signing.
He's the perfect starter wife. You know, at the end of the day,
you say starter wife?
Starter wife. It's your first wife. Your first wife is never your last wife.
Don't tell my wife. You know, my wife listens to this podcast. This is not good for me.
You're old school.
Don't tell my fiance that.
If you take your hat off, it'll show how old school you are, chick. You're old school. You don't worry about that. But the new school, your starter wife is the one you learn how to love a person and learn how to not make the mistakes that you're going to make with the first wife that you do with the second wife.
You can do that without getting married. You can do that in a relationship. That's a starter relationship, but not a starter wife.
You're saying that because you're about to jump the broom. You're about to do the dirty nasty dance, and you're worried, is this going to be your first and only chance? And I tell you that the numbers say 65% of marriages end in divorce. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Smooster Thomas knows the numbers.
Hey, I'm not 35% then. Yeah, and why are you looking that up?
Because I'm part of the statistic. I am part of the statistic. I added to those numbers with my first wife.
You go through wives like Belichick goes through tight ends.
Hey, but I'm not a quitter.
No, not at all. Not at all. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is in the fold. The other good thing is the signing of the cornerback.
William Jackson III. Yes, he can flat out play. That. He reminds me of a young Fred Schmoot. Very long, very lean, not the biggest, sticky in coverage, and boy, does he have a potty mouth. He's a trash talker. So I like that, and I like the fact that he's young and he's long, and I think you're bringing in a guy that you can have for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Did you have a potty mouth? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. He has a trashy mouth, and that's what it is.
Did you have a potty mouth?
My mouth stunk. It still reeks of garbage.
And we have young Cy on here listening to this. He's trying to get married and stuff.
Yeah, he's going to get married, but, you know, it's going to be a different side between the marriage side and the divorce side. They're going to be two different guys.
There's not going to be a divorce side. There's not. There will not be a divorced side.
No?
No.
I said the same thing. Don't worry about it. I said the same thing. Now look at me, single in my 40s.
What was I going to tell you? Also, by the way, coming up on the show, Fred has invited a fellow cornerback onto the show. Mm-hmm. So this will be an all-defensive show. Antoine Winfield played back in the day.
Not back in the day, because you're trying to make us seem old.
Back in the day, dude.
Wasn't that like 2005?
You played together. You guys played together in 2005. That is back in the day.
Okay, I'm sorry to tell you. 15 years ago. That ain't 16. Back in the day.
That's a long time.
Back in the day, it's flow model TVs, chick. All right, it was still flat screens out at this time, right? We were still texting words through the air at this time, right? We had a cell phone at this time, right? That's not back in the day, chick.
You can't be talking to us about you being new school with what you just said.
What about marriage?
About everything. How is that new school? Everything you just said. 2005 is old school.
By the way, your cell phones back in 2005 were about the size of a brick.
No, they wasn't. No, they wasn't. The iPhone had just dropped. All right. Okay. All right. Now you want to talk. It's in the same lifespan of an iPhone. So that makes it not back in the day. Now, if we're talking about a Sidekick two-way pager, now we're talking about back in the day. But you're not going to throw up me and Twan back in the day when, guess what? If you look up our footage on YouTube, it still looks clear. HD. All right.
I don't know. I don't know about film? That. I don't think that was HD, by the way. I think
no,
I had
my
to squint.
High school film is back in the day because it's VHS. That's back
I
in the day.
I had to squint. I had to squint. You okay with Alex Smith parting ways with the Washington football team?
Oh, we had to break up with him. We had to break up with him. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you the truth. It was a great story watching Alex play. But I was scared every second he was on the field. I was nervous every second he was on the field. And if I'm Alex, I call it a career. He can go into coaching. There's so many more things he can do. I just think he done gave football enough of his body. And he should say the rest for life, you know?
Man, he fought so hard to get back. He used the sport to bring back his quality of life. He plays for a season, sort of. Do you think he really gives it up, or does he? I mean, somebody out there is going to say, I watched this dude last year, and a year later, his leg's even stronger. Somebody out there is crazy enough to go,
no, I
put him on my roster.
I can see Coach Urban Meyer in Jacksonville saying, let's bring him in to teach Trevor Lawrence. All right, to be a guy that helps mold Trevor Lawrence. So I could see that happen in Jacksonville.
That makes sense to me. For the first time today, you've made sense to me. Any other free agent signings that surprise you at all? Anything that pops to your head? I mean, obviously,
I'm shocked that the Ravens haven't signed Antonio Brown, because I think the Ravens need a true number one wide receiver, and they need somebody that can really scratch the field with the other Brown. All right. And they have to get somebody, because if they're not going out to Kenny Galladay, they're not going out to these type guys. I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster is a true number one. I know for a fact Antonio Brown is. And Antonio Brown has been surprisingly quiet.
He has been, hasn't he? Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you start rooming with Tom Brady, man.
How did you think that Antonio Brown played last year? Because I've read mixed reviews, and, you know, he caught, you know, a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but a lot of people also said that he definitely lost a step. I mean,
no, he didn't lose a step. He had to play himself back into football shape. And by the time he was played back into football shape, it was playoff time. And when the playoff time come, who going to check Antonio Brown one-on-one? I'm sorry. Nobody can check Antonio Brown one-on-one. All right? So at the end of the day, he is that proven commodity. And he's proven that he will shut up. And he's proven that he can win a Super Bowl with him. I'm just shocked.
Here's the other question, though, because the Ravens, I know, are also a little tight on cap space. But even that aside, the other narrative with the Ravens is, why would a wide receiver, a big name wide receiver, want to play for the Ravens in an offense where you're going to be blocking more than you're going to be catching, and you can't expect to get 100 receptions, 1,000 receiving yards, and 12 touchdowns in a season?
Yes,
so.
Yes, you can, because Lamar Jackson would never be the Lamar Jackson of last year or the year before. He's only going to get better. They only going to open the offense up more. And you can only have somebody that can catch 100 passes if they're proven number one. Marquise Brown hasn't proven that he's a number one in this NFL yet. Well, Antonio Brown went a year and almost caught 150 passes. All right, so he's proven, just get me the ball, get me the ball in space. And guess what he does? If he comes, he makes them double team him. Now the tight end is one-on-one, and now Marquise Brown is one-on-one. Now he gets to catch more balls because of Antonio Brown. You see what happened to Juju Smith-Schuster after Antonio Brown left. He went from a 100-catch wide receiver to getting doubled, and he ain't had over 60 catches in a season since he left.
Other things that are taking place here. So as we speak, the Giants and Kenny Galladay are chatting. Galladay's going to go in there and have a little chat and have like a business meeting. That would be – yeah, that would hurt certainly Washington franchise.
And they stole one that I actually wanted. I wanted John Ross from the Cincinnati Bengals, and the New York Giants signed John Ross. If I'm a cornerback for the Washington football team, I just had my heart just skip the beat, because I know I got to see this guy two times a year. Because once he actually get his career going, he's very Joey Galloway like. He could be very special if he could just get with the right team and get going.
You know what? At the end of the season, everybody talked about Tom Brady can do it without Bill Belichick. He did. Got a Super Bowl title with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ever since then, all Bill Belichick has done is re-sign Cam Newton, who everybody's like, he's not coming back, or they're not going to re-sign him. Well, yep. Bill Belichick saw something. He knew that Cam was facing some bullshit during the season and trying to learn an offense and with a no offensive line. So he re-signs Cam Newton. He gets Nelson Aguilar on the wideout position.
Hey, and then the two in Philadelphia, the dude in Philadelphia that did the interview ain't really impressed with Nelson Aguilar. The right. dude that no caught questions. The kid right. out the fiery building.
And he also got two tight ends in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So yeah. Bill Belichick has been brilliant throughout his career as far as picks and free agent moves. I got a feeling that Bill is a little bit ticked off and now is trying to set Cam up for major success.
For Bill to be the best head coach of all time, the one, I guess, Achilles heel he had is he's terrible at drafting. He's terrible. Like, he's so terrible at drafting, he didn't pick the GOAT in football to round seven. That's how bad he is at drafting. He's just not good at it. So he said, you know what? Instead of getting these unproven commodities, I'm going to go get a lot of proven commodities. Mm-hmm. Because when I win Super Bowls, that's what I have. I have the Ty Laws of the world, the Richard Seymours of the world. I have guys that go out there that I know, the Jamie Collins of the world. So at the end of the day, he said, I'm going to go with older guys over younger guys and see what I can do.
All right. The coolest tidbit that I heard is what Russell Okun has done with Bitcoin. So he took he took last year's salary of 2020 and took half of that and invested it in Bitcoin.
No. He didn't take half and invested in Bitcoin. He made the team pay him in Bitcoin.
So it was around $27,000 per coin. At the time, the number was, I wrote it down here somewhere. What did I do with it? All right. So at the time, we're talking, it was worth 27 and now it's, and last week it was worth 60 grand. And so he has basically made up all of his salary and all the taxes he would have paid on that salary. For linemen are always, they've always been smart.
Well, he go to key. The tax thing is where he won it. When he got paid in Bitcoin, he was not forced to pay any tax on that money. So let's just like playing for a team in Florida or Texas. So he got all of his money and he tripled it at the same time while knowing, let me keep it out of my hands. That's what he said.
Right.
How about I keep it out of my hands? Therefore, I won't have a Rolls Royce in the front yard tomorrow. Instead, I will have triple my money and I'll be a Bitcoin legend.
All right, so you played in the league many, many years. If you can name names, who was the guy, a teammate or a guy in the league you heard was just absolutely the dumbest with his coin?
All of us.
That's a safe answer.
This is what you got to understand. Here go the fact of the matter. They say don't act like somebody that ain't never had nothing. Well, most of us never had anything. Mm-hmm. All right. The financial literacy in your 20s is terrible for every person in the world. And it's different between getting up in the morning, chick, and saying, what do I want to do? Do I want to go get a Benz truck? Or do I want to fly to Peru? See, most people don't have those options at the age of 25.
Right.
All right. So those options plus young friends that can help you find out what we doing today. And just the ability to do whatever you can dream up. Right. All right. That's the key. So I think all of us go through that first contract for pretty much 80% of the league is it vanished. Abracadabra, it's gone. It happens because you use that first contract to establish yourself. That's where your first cars come from. That's where your house come from. That's where your level, you even the playing ground. All right, so the second contract is when you set yourself up a lot.
All right, so we'll never know. As listeners and stuff, we'll never know. So you get that first contract. What was your first contract? And I forget how they pay out. I'm sure you had some guarantees.
It was like $10 million, 4 years.
Okay.
And
there was guaranteed money?
I was the only guy that got drafted in the second round that held out. I'm the only guy in sports history that got drafted in the second round and held out. Well, that's because I knew I slipped in the draft, and my agent knew it, Buzz Cook, and he said, well, I'm going to make him guarantee the whole contract. Right. And that's what he did.
Wow. All right, so you get that first check.
Yep.
That first check, what's that number like?
The first check is going to be your signing bonus.
Okay.
That's going to be your first check because you actually don't – your checks are broke down into 16 checks during the season. Right. That's your salary. Like, that first check going to be that signing bonus. So let's say that signing bonus is like $1.5 million.
Okay.
That's your first check. Now, what you were actually – the first person you were introduced to is Uncle Sam. Because you know you just got a check worth 1.5, but when you looked at it, it was only 900,000. So right, you went, right, what just happened? Abracadabra, it's gone. So that's your first, how should I say, financial lesson.
Okay.
That Uncle Sam gonna get his no matter what.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then you go either put it in you put some money in a bank. So you'll choose a bank like Wells Fargo. They won't cash that $1 million check. You gotta, they won't insure it. So you got to actually send it to your money manager. They cash it, then you put money into a regular bank account.
So, but you still, that first time you see that check, though, I mean, you
physically the first time you see that check, you lose your mind because you dreamed of this moment. You dreamed of, you know, after the draft, seeing that first check is like that next level. Because the draft day was your dream, but you can't wait to get that check. And when you get that check, first thing you probably had to do is pay back your agent because you probably had a credit line between leaving school and the draft.
Okay. What do agents, NFL agents, like for us in the media, when we first get an agent, man, we're so young in the business, they're taking 10% because they know they can. By the time you're established, you get it down. You can get it down to 8 or 7, maybe 6%. What do NFL agents normally take?
They start off at 3%.
That's because the contract is so big.
Yeah, 3%. And me, I'm the ultimate negotiator. I negotiated with Buzz Cook to get 1.5% of my contract because I actually negotiated my contracts myself.
Really?
Okay. I negotiated my way back here by calling Coach Gibbs.
Yeah.
I negotiated my new contract with Dan by sitting in the room. I negotiated my contract with Minnesota by talking over the phone.
Time out. I just heard it and I want to delve into it. So you sat in a room with Dan Snyder and negotiated your contract.
Yeah.
How does that go? Take us inside that room.
All right, Dan is slick with his words and he knows his football. And he knows his football. So he's a stat hound. He's a stat hound.
Well, okay. Oh, really?
You had five interceptions your first year and you'd have 4-4-4-4. So therefore, you went down one interception. Where do you think you deserve to be paid at? Well, I say I deserve to be right between 5 and 8 of the top at my position.
Okay.
All right. So then he'll fight back and say, well, how about this? And then I go back and say, no, how about that? And once we agree on the big number, the $55 million, now the negotiation is only about how much is guaranteed. That's where the fight. That's the real fight.
That's the real fight.
How much is guaranteed and how we're going to split it up so it don't kill the cap.
Right.
So we're going to split some of it up by roster bonus after April every year. We're going to make the ones that guaranteed top heavy, meaning I get most of it early instead of getting it periodically through the contract.
Right, right.
But it was easy for me because I'm easy to talk to, and I talk to Dan like he's my homeboy. So it made it very easy for me to do my contract with Dan.
How long? Was that a couple of days or was that one sitting?
One day. It took me and Dan and Coach Gibbs one day to do my contract.
Wow. Ah, that's impressive. That's impressive. Yep. You know, and I know the league does a good job or tries to do a good job of guys who are coming into the league. They have the seminars about taking care of their money. But obviously, a lot of guys, as you just said, some guys come from nothing. They come from dirt. And they don't take care of
a lot of people. And they take care of tons of people.
Right.
The ride ain't just for you. You know, you got to realize the first thing you usually buy after you buy you a car is your mom a house.
Right, right.
Well, just because you buy that house still come with bills. All right. So, you know, it don't stop when you buy your mom a house. It still got to be furnished and it still got to be a water bill and electric bill paid for that house.
All right. You need to text your boy Antoine because he's late. So text your boy and make sure I know I emailed him a couple of times. Cy, you had a wine tasting this week.
I did.
In preparations for your wedding. So how did that go?
Oh, it went fantastic. It was actually a food tasting, not a wine tasting. Yep. And we finalized our menu for the wedding.
Really? So what's on the menu? Just let the folks in now. What's on the menu?
All right. Yep. So for the starters, we're going to have some hibachi beef skewers and nice. Some three cheese mac and cheese skewers, which will be delicious. We're going to have a delicious Caesar salad as the salad. And then for the entrees, we're going with a Parmesan breaded chicken that was arguably one of the best chicken dishes I've ever had, frankly. It was that good.
We're better than Chick-fil-A and KFC.
As much as it pains me to say that. Yeah, but yes, actually better than that. It's going to be a filet mignon, and then there's a vegan dish because my sister and brother-in-law are vegan.
Oh, nice. And I heard that Wynn is doing all your stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. She hooked it up. She's awesome.
No, for those who don't know, Wynn is she does PR for Augie's, where we used to do our podcast from. And she's become a good friend of all. She just took me up with something else, matter of fact, today. So that wins good people. Very cool. I'm impressed the fact that you remember the entire menu. That's
I know.
That's,
well, and then
there's no chance I would have.
Lemon butter and garlic green beans and mashed potatoes.
I picked my whole stuff out for my wedding.
You did? Which wedding?
The first one. Okay. That's the only one I've had.
Oh, see, that's right.
She let you do that?
My thing was, I got married by Pastor Brett. And I told Pastor Brett he got to retire because 80% of his marriages have failed. All right? That's what I'm, and he was our team chaplain. All right? And I went back after my divorce and told Pastor, he got to quit. All right? Sometimes you got to know when to quit. You ain't good at stuff. Sometimes everybody can't be great at stuff just because it's a good thing. It's bad pastors out there. I had an uncle that I had to tell, you got to retire. You buried the wrong person at a funeral. My cousin that's actually, he's sitting here wondering what's going on.
Wait a second. Again, I got to call time out for it. He buried the wrong person at a funeral?
All right, I'm named after my Uncle Fred. My Uncle Fred is a pastor, and he about 80 years old, all right?
Okay, all right.
And I had a cousin that passed, and it was, we sitting at the funeral, and he started preaching about my other cousin who's sitting beside me.
Oh, geez. Oh, no.
So I tapped my cousin that's beside me and like, dude, you was at your own funeral. And so not only did he talk about burying the wrong person, this same preacher came back and almost married my cousin to her stepdad.
Oh, well, that happens. That does happen down south.
No. At the wedding, her stepdad walked her down the aisle. And they got down at the end of the aisle, my uncle just started with the ceremony instantly.
Oh, my Lord.
I like, he got to quit. He too old.
I'm 1-0 in weddings that I have ordained as an ordained minister that I am.
Shows you what religion is. If Chick can be an ordained minister, anybody.
Well, Chick's about to be 2-0. After my wedding.
Chick's not. No, hell no. Chick's not doing Cy and Sarah.
He's going to come around. Happening. He's going to come around.
There's no chance. No chance.
Man, I'm going to be at the wedding. You
yeah,
should
he's, he should.
No.
Dude, I've got five, six more months to get Chick to come around.
Let me be your deacon.
Let me try to be the deacon. Let me tell you something. If we can get the spinners and the platters to come in here, that's old school. I have never, as many things as I've done in my life, I have ridden a 2,000-pound Brahma bull. I have golfed in a pro-am. I have taken a lesson from Jack Nicklaus. I have sat down with MJ and Tiger. I have never in my life been more nervous than standing there watching the bride-to-be and the groom coming down the aisle and thinking to myself, man, don't shit your pants.
Well, whose wedding were you doing?
Why were you so nervous? Because you didn't want to mess their special time up?
Because this is the daughter of one of my best friends who I've known since first grade. She surprised me because I've known her before she was her, right?
Yeah.
I've known her all her life. And me and the boys were out in Silver Spring at a bar. And all of a sudden I see her walk in with her mother, who I've known for a long time, obviously. And there's a strange look on their face, and they come over and they hand me this box. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm getting a gift. I'm not sure why I'm getting a gift. And I open the box up, and it's a nice cigar in there. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then they're kind of looking at me. And then I see there's something written on the underside of the box. And it's basically an invite. Would you please officiate our wedding? And it's at that moment.
So that's how you do it. Okay.
Oh, my God. And I'm like, well, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a minister, but I'll sign up, I'll do the stuff you got to do online. And I did it, And once you start doing it and looking at what you have to do, now comes the, oh, you know, there's a part of this. They want it to be funny, but they also want it. It's serious. So I'm like, okay. So I'm looking through the stuff. I get that done. Then I'm, you know, we're months away and I'm hearing, you know, that the groom's parents aren't quite keen on this idea, that they want them to be married by a minister. I'm like, oh, so this is not, but they all came around. I met the groom's parents, and what I did is the day before, we had a wedding down by the Ocean City, or down by just across the bridge. The day before, we had, you know, the rehearsal dinner, and unbeknownst to all four parents, I had time with each one where I made a point of like hanging out, right? And I asked each one, you know, what is it that made your marriage work? You know, and it was interesting to see the two different couples. One couple was like, they're like twins. Yeah. They have never argued. They're on the same page. The other couple, they weren't diametrically opposed, but one was definitely the dominant. And they all told stories about each one, right? So here comes the wedding. And again, I'm nervous as hell. And and we got all of our friends that we've grown up with. They're all there from every walk of life, from grades one through adulthood. They're all there. And, you know, and I'm, you know, quote, TV guy. So Chick's going to, this is easy for Chick. Oh, the hell it's not. It's not. And we start, and, you know, I felt the nerves throughout. I had some jokes that were planned in there. And I kind of vibed off of the crowd a little bit. But then I got it to the parents and I recounted those conversations. I said, you know, I met a parent that did this, blah, blah, blah. And then to see the groom's parents like, oh, he was interviewing me. And they were like, and I looked them dead in the eye and I could see one of the parents had, you know, they'd welled up, got the tears in the eyes. I'm like, all right, now I'm grooving. I got it done. But let me tell you, like I said, it's the most nerve-wracking thing, and I'll probably never do it again. So there's no chance you and Sarah are going
to. I will rebuttal that. I will rebuttal that with this argument, which begins with the fact that I am not the child of somebody or anybody that you've ever, well, I guess you've met them once, but that you really know. You're not really going to know anybody at said wedding, and I'm just Cy. You can rip on me all you want, and you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, no, because
hey, now that you bring that up, I, you know what? After playing in front of millions of people, you would think I would never get nervous, all right? Right. And talking and doing TV and radio, but it brought up some. Do you remember the TV One Awards when they was doing it when I was over there working for Radio One, all right? And I had to present an award to Doc Walker.
Okay.
All right. And in the crowd is Jamie Foxx, Aretha Franklin,
Brandy,
Ray J, all of these people in the crowd. And now I got to walk on stage and read off of this teleprompter.
Yeah.
And move and be funny all at the same time.
Right, right.
And boy, when I promise you, when I first got up there, the biggest sweat bead of all time ran down my forehead and almost drowned me in milk conversations. But once I got to rolling, it was on then. It was on and it was back to it. But I did not want to mess that up, and I never get nervous. Like, I'm one of the people that never gets nervous. Right. But that one moment, I was nervous, and I don't know why I was nervous. Maybe because I was a superstar that was in there.
Absolutely. You see folks in there, and you know, you one day might want to hang with them or get into a film or whatever else. You're like, don't screw this up. Don't screw it up. And, you know, for me, it is the lasting image. If I screw up, first off, all my boys, including her father, will give me shit for the rest of our natural born days. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. But if I handle it well, then it's the opposite. I always, when I see the folks, oh, it was such a good wedding. Look, there's a guy, two of my friends. One of my best friends, Eric, got married, and our other best friend, Larry, was the best man. His speech, and I'm sure they'll be listening to this podcast at some point. His speech was, and I mentioned this while I was doing the wedding, I said to the best man, you better come correct with your speech, because there's a guy in the audience who gave the worst best man speech known to man. After knowing this guy for 30 years, he still effed it up in the most unbelievable way, which he did. He just clammed up and it was awful. And it was the funniest thing. And to this day, all we have to do is start the sentence of how he started his speech. And we all start laughing because we know where we're going with this thing. So yeah. it's a memory that's, you know.
Oh, no. My homeboys only use me for to be a bachelor party coordinator.
Oh, good. Like, you can do that.
I get so much by homeboys that I was like, I ain't talked to this dude in 10 years. And he's like, yeah, my bachelor party, man, I want you to handle it. Why all of a sudden you want me to handle your bachelor party on your last day?
I wonder why.
I'm a good time coordinator. Like, some guys know how to coordinate a good time, and I am a good time coordinator. Like, right now, it's St. Patty's Day. I'm getting texts from all kind of angles about come have a good time and drink this Irish beer. And guess what? After this podcast, I too will partake in St. Patty's Day and wet my palate to the point that it is drowned by happiness and fun.
It's lovely.
You got to put green on if you're going to go out.
Huh? Yeah.
You have to put green on if you're going to go out.
Yeah. You can't just puke green. You got to have
especially if you're especially since you're Dutch Irish.
I'm going to put a swish of sweet full of green in my ear and carry it around.
The Dutch Irish, that's not going to be good.
It's all about that four-leaf clover, and I like mine some blueberry kush clover.
Did Antoine respond to you at all?
Yes, he's boarding a plane. No Antoine today. He said he'll get us next week.
Luckily,
we had all these stories to tell about being nervous for the first time. So it worked itself out.
We have to, who are we going to, we got Antoine coming up. We got to get some,
We got to get some females in here. We got to get some diversity, Chief.
I agree with that. I've asked Julie Donaldson to come on. She has,
I got to do the draft stuff with her. So
you should talk to her.
Josina came on. All right. So we had Josina.
Yeah.
We need to get,
I've asked to get Ron Rivera. So, you know, kind of waiting on that. Monica, you know who, I told you guys, Taylor Heineke blew us off.
And that's why his job got took by Fitzmagic. That's what happens when you blow off this podcast. Right? Your job gets taken the next day. He blew us off, and now Fitzmagic has taken his job. So guess what? Last call for alcohol, I don't want a Heineke.
Yeah, I wonder if he might change his mind now after the Fitzmagic.
No, I tell you what, we need to find an inroad to Fitzpatrick. We need to get Fitzpatrick on.
I can get there. I should be at the park next week anyway, so.
All right. Well, we'll work on that. I'll try to go a different direction to do business while we're doing this podcast. Anything else that's on your minds, gentlemen? NFL-wise, anything? Sports-wise? I got nothing.
I am loving the NBA right now and the New Jersey Nets. I'm a Laker, but we don't have a chance to beat them. Nobody has a chance to beat them. I'm sorry. Correct. They're too good. And Kyrie is a wizard with that ball in his hand. Yeah. And sweet James Harden could be the best point guard in basketball right now.
It's amazing the transition that he made, which leads me even more to believe that was just a setup to get out of Houston. Was like, I'm going to put on some pounds. I'm going to bitch a little bit. And then boom. And now balling like a king. And you're right. I mean, his handle and with that rock in his hand, he's making everybody better.
This is how he played in OKC. He was the best point guard in OKC. I'd rather have James Harden at the point guard. He's that fat dude at the park that handles the rock, that runs the show, that leans on people, that makes it hard to stop his shot. James Harden is that guy. And I'm going to hate to see a James Harden after he get his first ring, because then I think everything really going to click then, and he's going to be really ring chasing, because that's what he's doing right now.
Washington Wizards, what I can say about them is what we've known all along. Bradley Beal's really freaking good and right now leading the league in scoring, and just I feel horrible for him. I feel horrible because he is one of the best in the league and he's playing for Washington, which is not close.
We might get the center from the Cavaliers. Who's the center from the Cavaliers, not Greg Monroe. I'm talking about the other guy that played for the Pistons.
Drummond?
Really?
Huh?
Was it Drummond?
Yes, Andre Drummond. And we add an Andre Drummond to this team because Russ is starting to cook. All right?
Right.
So if we can add an Andre Drummond to this team, and that allows us to move some guys from the five to the four, I think that could give us a chance in the East right now.
March Madness is this week. It begins.
It doesn't matter. It stinks. This is the worst year of March Madness of all time.
No, last year. Last year was the worst year.
There's only one team in college basketball. That's Gonzaga. It ain't nobody else. None of the blue bloods. None of the regular villains. All right. It's nobody. Like, even to the point that college basketball has no star power beside the kid from Oklahoma State. They have you couldn't name a Christian lately in college right now.
You're telling me that it's over now. Gonzaga is no doubt the winner. That's
Man,
it.
Gonzaga, they might as well just say, no, let's not play it. Give Gonzaga the championship and go home.
No, this is the beauty of March Madness is that it doesn't go that way like, you know, every time.
The best team in college basketball. The best team in college basketball, I feel like rarely – okay, maybe not rarely, but they don't always end up being the champion. Like, to win, you have to get hot at the right time, and to win, string together that amount of wins.
They get to the Final Four a lot.
Do you know the last time Gonzaga lost? COVID didn't exist. That's the last time Gonzaga lost. All right? They have a starting five that if they all broke up and went to four other teams, they would be the top five stars in college basketball.
See? Yeah.
Like, how are you going to stop that?
Because I believe that Gonzaga is the best team in college basketball. They're a favorite, but I can't sit there and be as confident as you are that they're going to win it all because, I mean, UVA lost as a number one seed to UMBC. You just never know.
I didn't believe
sports.
In the UVA team. Their UVA team was all defense. Their UVA team did not have somebody that could take over game scoring. I never believed.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't – even that being said, they still shouldn't have lost to a 16 – they still should have at least gone to, like, you know, the Elite Eight.
You don't score, you don't win. You don't score, you don't win. That's basketball. So I'm telling you, Gonzaga got the number one offense in college basketball and the number one defense. And you telling me that somebody like University of, what was that, Baltimore City, right, that beat UVA is going to come in and beat Gonzaga.
I'm not saying a 16. I'm just saying that when you get to Elite Eight Final Four, anything can happen.
Yeah, you're right. It's only one game. It's basketball.
Right. In that bracket, if Gonzaga moves on, they play the winner of Oklahoma, Missouri, 8-9. And then it comes up against probably Creighton or Virginia. Virginia, but they're banged up. They're going to practice this week for the first time. They were out of the ACC tournament. That's the other thing. Is those four teams that are waiting, by the way, do you think the four teams that are standing by in case someone gets COVID, do you think they're just sitting there going, please get COVID, please get COVID?
Yeah, they wishing death upon them all. I know if I was one of those basketball players, I would literally send a girl over there with COVID to make sure the whole team get COVID.
That is so
I
want to
play. Come on, you want to play, especially if this your senior
year. I
want
to play, but I'm not going to wish somebody to get COVID, though.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Listen to me. If I was playing in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady, I'm at home like, God, give Tom Brady COVID. You hear me? Hey, not a serious case, just a mild case.
Oh, just a mild case. Okay.
Yes. Just a one-day case where he just, for one day, he's very sick.
A case of COVID, syphilis, whatever it takes to keep this man off the field.
I'm pretty sure syphilis is a long, I don't think
how about just diarrhea? Give him diarrhea, explosive diarrhea.
No, you can still play with diarrhea.
Did you see
what Jordan did with the flu? You can't let guys like that play.
If you have explosive diarrhea and you're playing NFL football, you can't. You can't play like that because one exertion – it's over. No one gets near you, although you could. That might be a bonus. No one wants to get near you. But no, that's not good.
Oh, no. Listen, I've played with a mild case of diarrhea. You don't want to do that, especially in them white football pants.
No.
That ain't fun.
Guys who get sick on the football field, I'm sure you've been a part of that.
Oh, no. I've watched some. I didn't watch a guy pee while we playing a game in the huddle.
I'm sorry, what?
I watched a guy. While we was playing Green Bay, and it was like 10 degrees, he was like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. But he like, I ain't finna miss this play. And he just started peeing, standing up while we was in the huddle. And it just rolled down his leg. And I was like, man, are you peeing? He was like, yeah. I was like, nice.
Oh, he didn't pull out. He just did it.
No, he just did it. Like, you know, like, oh that feels so good. I like, what feels good?
It was nice and warm for a bit.
Yeah, it was warm going down his leg, and he right. We already sweaty. What's the difference?
There's a difference between sweat and urine. One.
Listen to me. You don't understand how wet it is under our shoulder pads. We are drenched. Rich. So it ain't no difference. Besides, he stunk by the third quarter.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like that's like, what I'm saying.
But if you didn't raise the child, you know the pee smell don't bother.
Yeah. Well, hold on. First off, baby pee is far different than adult pee, especially if you had asparagus for lunch.
Jack Daniels.
My gosh. There's a guy at Maryland named Darren Drozdoff who played for the Broncos. He would puke right on the field the first play of the game. He would do it right in front of his opponent. That kind of turns you off.
Because nobody trying to land in there.
Yeah, I don't want to be tackled in that.
Now, London Fletcher is famous for doing it on the sidelines. He would do it on the sidelines before the game.
He always did it. I seen a guy get hit so hard, a little turtle head poked out.
How do you know that a turtle head poked out? How do you know that?
Literally, he got the shit knocked out of him.
Oh,
literally.
God. Who was it?
I'm not going to spread them rumors like that, chick.
Who hit him?
I knew you was going to reach.
How about who hit him?
All I'm going to say, he played running back, and he was hit by Darryl Gardner.
Okay.
Darryl Gardner chased down a play from the back and hit I'll dude, bet. And a little piece of turd came out mid-game.
Oh, my God. My God. Look at Si's face. He's actually switching up here in that.
No,
I'll tell you the hardest. You know who should have shit themselves is Kanoi Kennedy when Mike Sellers rode great.
Oh, man, no. No, yeah, I actually did.
You saw that and you pooped.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, okay. Well, this show's gone to shit. So
literally.
Did either of you guys see the play? This is a little off topic, but have you guys been following this fan-controlled football league? It's like this knockoff.
I have it.
So yeah, I'm not a a big fan or anything, but there was one play that went viral recently with one Mr. Johnny Manziel.
And really?
Either of you guys seen it?
I think I seen the play. I seen the play.
What did he do?
A snap was hiked way over his head, and so as a quarterback does, he turned around to run to pick up to fall on the fumble. He turned his head and he saw a bunch of big-ass defensive lineman running at him, and he literally just, you could see his head thinking, screw it, I'm not getting involved, turned around and started walking off the field, didn't even try to pick it up as the defensive lineman picked up the fumble and started running towards the other end zone.
That's great.
That dude don't care. Have never seen a bigger fall from grace.
You guys should look it up.
Hey, then Johnny the Messiah Manziel, like he was the Messiah for a while when it came to football. He was the epitome, and just to see him in a fan dictated league,
wow,
pulling a Ryan league, I never thought I'd see it.
He literally, you just have to watch the play. Trust me, it's worth looking up. It's humorous.
All right, well, for those who are listening who haven't seen it, go to YouTube, look it up. Go to online and look up Johnny Manziel quitting on his team, which he did many, many times. All right, so next week we'll figure out something else. We hope you guys enjoyed That's Your Opinion. We've learned that you shouldn't bury someone else's cousin. You shouldn't hit your pants during a football game or pee in a huddle.
You can pee in a huddle. It's very obtainable.
And we welcome Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan, if you ever listen to this, you have a standing invite to come on the show with Fred Smoot, Si Fenwick, and Chick Hernandez. That is another edition. Boys, good to talk with you. We'll see you next week. That's another edition of That's Your Opinion.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.